everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, first, let me say welcome to you, and let me tell you a little bit of what this is all about. You see, it is a podcast, since you can't really see me, but you can hear me, and I actually talk about animation, believe it or not. Specifically, the latest news that happened this week. So, on today's episode, we are going to be starting off with the brand new addition to the Criterion Collection. Then afterwards, we will be talking about the new trailer of Sausage Party. Then afterwards, we will be making an update to the last episode when I talked about in Matt's Pick of the Week regarding The Little Prince. And then we will be talking about Ruby, and it might actually get a chance to be in theaters. And then finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Now, to start things off, let me tell you a little bit about the Criterion Collection. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Criterion Collection is mostly renowned with more movie fans and also collectors of Blu-rays and DVDs. What basically the Criterion Collection is, it's a collection of movies that are all grouped up together that are considered some of the best in both classic and contemporary filmmaking. But it isn't about like the big budget movies and stuff like that. You're not really going to find any big budget superhero movies or like special effects heavy stuff or like anything from a big studio or stuff like that. This is more about the artistry of filmmaking. And unfortunately, animation is very underrepresented here. There was only that one time in the 90s that Akira actually made it into the Criterion Collection on Laserdisc, but ever since then, nothing really happened since. But then, things started to change in 2014 when Criterion actually added Fantastic Mr. Fox onto the Criterion Collection, but not a lot of people thought much of it, considering that some thought that, oh, they added Fantastic Mr. Fox because it is more Wes Anderson than it would actually be animation, considering that Wes Anderson is pretty much a favorite in the Criterion Collection. But that may not be the case. The following year, in 2015, they actually added Watership Down. So it might seem like now Criterion is doing an annual thing where once a year, they are going to add an animated film onto their collection. And for this year, they are actually doing a brand new addition. They're finally putting up a new one. And out of all the animated features out there, this is the one that's been requested the most to be added to the Criterion Collection, and now they are adding it, and I am talking about Fantastic Planet. Now, if you guys don't know about Fantastic Planet, let me read you the synopsis from Criterion.com. Nothing else has ever looked or felt like director René Laloux's animated Marvel Fantastic Planet, a politically minded and visually inventive work of science fiction. The film is set on a distant planet called Igam, I don't know, Y-J-A-M, whatever, okay, where enslaved humans, called Ohms, are the playthings of giant blue natives called the Drags. After Ter, kept as a pet since infancy, escapes from his gigantic child captor, he is swept up by a band of radical fellow Ohms who are wresting the Drags' oppression and violence. With its eerie, coolly surreal cutout animation by Roland Tapor, brilliant psychedelic jazz score by Alain Goraguier, and wondrous creatures and landscape, this Cannes awarded 1973 counterculture classic is a perennially compelling statement against conformity and violence. So basically, this is technically a stop-motion animated film, but it's cutout animation. Basically, it's 2D. Think of it, like, the best example that I can think of is, think of the pilot episode of South Park and also the animations of Monty Python's Flying Circus. So that's basically the idea of Fantastic Planet. I remember talking about it in animation look back the best of stop motion, and it really is a fascinating film. It may not be that well known, but it really is an example of like one of the most surreal animated features that you can ever find. Like we're talking about surrealism in the levels of something like the Yellow Submarine, actually. Now, in terms of the Blu-ray and DVD itself, it is going to be packed with bonus features. That's one of the beauties of Criterion Collection, is that they make sure to make it a complete collection of the movies. In fact, some of the best Blu-rays that I own, actually, are the Fantastic Mr. Fox and Watership Down Blu-ray, because, like, Criterion makes sure that they would pack the movie with so many bonus features to make it a complete experience. Like, you get the complete package of the movies. Like, they are on the same levels as Disney at their A-game when it comes to, like, creating Blu-rays and stuff like that. So, the disc will be featured with a new restored 4K digital transfer with uncompressed monaural soundtrack of the Blu-ray, an alternate English language soundtrack, an animated short called Les Escargots in 1996, an early short film by director René Laloux and illustrator Roland Tapor, so it's kind of like the spiritual precursor to Fantastic Planet. Also, Laloux Sauvage, a 2009 documentary on Laloux. Italics, Roland Tapor's special, a 1974 French television program on Tapor's work. Archival interviews, trailers, a new English subtitle translation, and also an essay by critic Michael Brook. So, basically, this is going to be coming with the full package. And honestly, this is going to be highly fascinating, and it's going to be an absolute recommendation for film buffs. Fans of the Criterion Collection are definitely going to add this, considering how artistic it'll be, and also it has the Criterion logo. And another thing is that it's great to see a movie like Fantastic Planet finally getting some light again through Criterion, and I don't think there is any other better way. But also, this is a reflection upon that Criterion, now they're gonna, like, it seems that now they are gonna be doing this annually. 2014, we got Fantastic Mr. Fox. 2015, we got Watership Down. And now 2016, we got Fantastic Planet. But you never know, maybe they'll do, maybe there's gonna be two or three, or, like, maybe Criterion is going to add in a lot more animated films. But we just have to wait and see on how that goes. But I can think on top of my head, I would love to see a lot more animated films to be a part of the Criterion Collection, because there are so many of them. Like, they're not well known, but if they can get that recognition through Criterion, that would actually be amazing. A lot of these that I can think of, like, other movies that could be a great addition to the Criterion Collection that I can think of, I can think of, like, some animated classics, like some really old ones, like what was it? Oh yeah, like The Adventures of Prince Ahmed, or Reynard the Fox, like the 1932 stop motion film. That could be one. Also, like early British animated features like Animal Farm or Yellow Submarine or stuff like somewhere along those lines. Like the British animated features before Aardman came in, that would be an interesting look. I can also imagine some contemporary animated films, like it could be possible that Criterion can go in and they can add some animated films. Like, they recently got nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Feature, but, like, of course they didn't win, but, like, if they got that small piece of recognition at the Oscars, then maybe they can also be added into the Criterion Collection. Like, I'm gonna be honest, I can totally imagine Boy and the World actually be a part of that. Like, that I can see easily. Also, like, a few other ones that I can imagine that can easily join in the Criterion Collection. I think that's, the title is either It's a Beautiful Thing or It's a Beautiful Day, the Don Hertzfeldt movie, or also Allegro Non Troppo. If you guys don't know what Allegro Non Troppo is actually an Italian parody of Walt Disney's Fantasia in the 60s. I actually saw it not too long ago. Oh my God, it is amazingly good. It is absolutely, it's absolutely hilarious. It's Monty Python meets Fantasia. And honestly, this is what Fantasia 2000 should have been. It really is that good. I highly recommend you check out Allegro Non Troppo. And hopefully one day it could be added to Fantastic Planet. And also, I saw one suggestion that someone actually put in, which actually sounds like a very interesting idea, is that someone said that they would like to see Richard Williams' original cut of The Thief and the Cobbler. And that would actually be a pretty cool idea. Yeah, like nowadays it's not necessarily finished, but, you know, maybe that could be an option of how, like, it can finally be restored. It can finally be done. Like, maybe if Richard Williams would actually be willing to take a break from his, you know, from his animated feature that he's working on, like the movie version of Prologue, and then like he can go and work with with Criterion a bit to actually finish the original version that he always wanted to make and finally get that done and then be added to the Criterion collection. That would actually be really cool. But anyways, going back into Fantastic Planet, if you guys want to go and pre-order it right now, you can go to Criterion.com and you can pre-order either the Blu-ray or the DVD, and it will go and finally be released on June 21st of this year. Now, our next story is going to be pretty much the biggest thing in animation that occurred this week. But I will say this is actually pretty funny, and I'm sure this is what's going to be happening with the movie in general. Now, considering that Sony received massive, and I really do mean massive crap, for what they did with the trailer of the upcoming Ghostbusters reboot, this trailer, on the other hand, actually came in and it kind of made things a lot better for Sony. Now, like, they didn't get as much views or, like, as much attention as, like, the Ghostbusters trailer did. But I do get a feeling that, in a way, this movie is going to be Sony's way of saying, we are so sorry for what we did with Ghostbusters. Here is an animated Seth Rogen movie that will be rated R to make things up for it. And I am talking, of course, of the trailer of Sausage Party. And, oh my god, looking at it for the first time, I honestly did not expect this. And, yeah, I gotta say, this is actually pretty funny, I gotta say. Like, oh my god. What I immediately noticed about Sausage Party is that it definitely does have a bit of that humor that you would commonly find in Adult Swim. Now, like, pretty much, it has a more dark sense of humor, but they kind of twist it in a way that is more funny, because, like, what we're basically seeing in this trailer, like, most of the time, it's just, like, cartoon food that are being massacred and tortured and, like, mercilessly killed in horrifying and disgusting ways that just seems average for the normal human being. And, like, this is, like, that's where I feel like it kind of has that, it has the Adult Swim vibe, but also the fact that I don't think it has the rated R, like, that R rating, just because, like, for the usual things you would expect, like, total violence, you see blood and guts flying everywhere, or, like, total nudity. I mean, it is just talking food, so you're not gonna see any dicks or boobs popping around anytime soon. But it does have a lot of cursing, even on the Red Band trailer. There's a lot of F-bombs, like, people keep throwing out, F-bombs, and it wasn't until, like, they actually did save it for a good while. It wasn't until, like, I think it was until a minute into it, you got a happy little potato, where he was finally picked up, and then he was peeled off. I was like, Jesus! Ah! You know, like, just like that. It is absolutely hilarious, I will say, but the interesting thing to note is that not too long ago, I believe this week, Sausage Party actually got a work in progress screening at South by Southwest. And it actually is really interesting to see what people have to say about it. And so far, it is pretty positive reactions. What I've heard is that it's not necessarily the best movie that was released at South by Southwest, But it definitely is enjoyable. That's the one massive promise that this movie will give you, is that it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be hilarious. And I could definitely see that where I can definitely tell that the strongest point will be into the writing, where even a lot of people say that apparently it has a lot of religious allegories in this film. So, and I can honestly see that a little bit into the trailer, but I can definitely tell that it is going to be something pretty funny. Now, if there is one little bit of criticism that I do have, and this is something that I haven't noticed until when I saw DoubleToasted.com, they actually mentioned this when I was listening to when they were talking about the when they were talking about the trailer, is that they notice how the animation is not really that good. It does look a little bit cheap. And honestly, like, at first, I do have a few questions regarding the some of the design choices. I'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I start to notice a little bit that, honestly, yeah, in comparison to, like, some of the other movies that we have this year, like Kung Fu Panda 3 or Zootopia, the animation here does look a little bit subpar. But then again, this is distributed by Sony, and whenever they would release an animated feature, their standards are, like, extremely low. So this, by Sony standards, this is a massive step up in terms of the quality of animation. But I will say that, yeah, I can notice that how the animation in general may not be as good as, like, the other big budget films. Considering, well, like, it is true that technically this is not from a massive big budget animation studio. This is from a small studio in Vancouver, actually. This is not actually from, like, this is not a Sony Pictures animated film or Sony Pictures animation film, or this is not from Sony Pictures Imageworks. This is like Sony just came in, they saw this, and they decided, like, you know what, we're going to go and distribute this. The one thing I did notice is that the designs in particular, like, some of them, they don't gel well with me. I do get what they're trying to do with the classic, like, stick figures, like, give like food some googly eyes and a mouth, and like just give them like stick figure arms and legs, that kind of classic cartoon thing. I get what they're trying to do, but like it does look a little bit generic. That, and also I do not like the humans, like especially the woman that went out grocery shopping. Like, she looks kind of freaky. Like, I'm not gonna lie, there's something about her, she looks kind of grotesque in a way. That, and also, but the worst designed ones, the ones that I absolutely don't understand, are the buns. Like, okay, I don't mind the eyes, I don't mind, like, the body shape to make it look feminine, but what's with the vertical mouth? Like, I don't really get. Like, why give her this slanted vertical mouth? Like, is that supposed to be, like, a vagina mouth or something? I just don't get it. Like, why not give her a regular mouth like all the other ones? That one I don't get it. Like, honestly, actually thinking about it now, you know what the buns look like? They look like the female version of the smog monster in the Godzilla movies. That's what it reminds me of. It's like a more clean, a more feminine version of the smog monster. Like, I don't know, it just looked weird. That, and also, I will say that in the overall look into it, it does look like a cheap commercial. It does look like a computer animated commercial for, like, some kind of food brand or stuff like that. So, like, maybe it would need a bit more rendering, like, or at least a more powerful source of rendering. But I do understand it is coming from a small studio. But, like, I'm not gonna say that it's all bad. It is, you know, there are still a few things that are pretty enjoyable to watch. Like, I will give credit that the character animation is pretty good. Like, that is actually, that's really fine, that's pretty good. But overall, from what I've seen, like, a lot of people have said that this is Food Fight done right, and, you know, I could tell, like, in many ways, it kind of is. Like, a movie about grocery food, You know, it definitely is a promise. And, you know, it like, never, like, honestly, the only animated film that I've seen that is about food and is actually good and it actually has taste is just Ratatouille. So maybe, like, adding Sausage Party into the mix might actually be interesting. So, we'll just have to wait and see with how Sausage Party is going to go. Hopefully, it will be as funny as they did show in the trailer, so we'll have to wait and see when it will be released on August 12th. Now, for our next story, this is going to be a little update to the last episode when I talked about Matt in Matt's Pick of the Week regarding The Little Prince. Now, I mentioned how apparently Paramount, at the last minute, like the week before it should have been released in theaters, well, in U.S. theaters, that they decided to immediately take out The Little Prince. Like, no explanation, just take it out. Now, Paramount has not officially described why they decided to make this move, but I did make a little bit of a theory to, because, like, March, like, specifically this March is a scary, scary month for movies, because Zootopia is pretty much dominating everything, and then afterwards, they're going to get Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. So, there would be no way that The Little Prince would end up being a success. They're, like, they know for a fact that not enough audiences will go and see The Little Prince because they're going to be too distracted with something like Zootopia. So, that, but again, that's just my theory. But somehow, the director, Mark Osborne, he seemed very positive that things are going to move forward. Like, he knows for a fact that The Little Prince will be released sometime this year. Like, he knows for a fact. And, like, he's pretty confident that, like, American audience will have a chance to see The Little Prince. Unless, like, Americans would go and move to Canada because, like, they're pretty much showing The Little Prince right now. Now, an update to that is something that I am honestly surprised that this happened. I thought it was going to take, like, maybe a few months or a few weeks and stuff like that, but I did not expect it just, like, less than a week after Paramount dropped it off. And this actually happened on the day before it was originally supposed to be released in U.S. theaters, is that Netflix actually picked up The Little Prince. How there is going to be a little bit of a catch to it, that because Netflix is going to be picking this movie up, it will no longer be released in theaters. That chance is going to be completely gone, but instead, Netflix is going to have it into its service. So, apparently, this is going to be the first time ever that a major animation, like, a major animated feature like The Little Prince, like, and keep in mind, like, I would say this is a pretty big animated feature, considering that, like, it is a massive blend of computer animation and stop-motion animation, and plus the fact that it has, like, this all-star cast with people like Jeff Bridges, Rachel McAdams, Paul Giamatti, James Franco, Benicio del Toro, Ricky Gervais, like, all these people telling what basically is the biggest, like, one of the biggest books in history. Like, keep in mind, like, The Little Prince is one of the best-selling books in the world that is almost equivalent to The Lord of the Rings. But saying that right now, they did not explain when it will be released on Netflix. We'll just have to wait and see on that. And what's actually really funny to mention is that I guess now I had an experience that not many people in, well, at least in America will have, and that is that I actually saw it in theaters. And the funny thing is that at this point, I already saw it like a month ago. And it's actually interesting to mention because technically, The Little Prince was released last week all around Canada. But in the province of Quebec, they decided to release it last week, considering that part of the production was actually done in Montreal, just like the little touch-ups, like the lighting and the effects and all that kind of stuff, and even some of the stop motion. But I decided to see it, and yes, I have done a review of it, but for now, I'm going to put it on hold until it will be released on Netflix, but it does raise actually a pretty interesting theory, actually. Like, this is going to be something that maybe it'll start a trend. Like, I know that many people mentioned this, like, many people said, like, many people would think like this whenever something of this caliber would happen, but considering that The Little Prince is a major big-budget animated feature to actually be released as an exclusive to Netflix in America and stuff like that, it's going to be interesting to see if this will become a trend, if this will actually pick things up, if we're going to see a lot more animated features this time to be released just on Netflix and skip the, skip movies in general. Well, actually skip theaters in general. Sorry about that. I don't know, like, maybe it could happen, but we'll just have to wait and see how The Little Prince goes. And considering that, I know that animated features and animated TV shows are usually really, really big on Netflix. Maybe this could find a massive audience, and maybe it'll do something with animated features. You never know what's going to happen. But, as of right now, Netflix has yet to announce when they're going to release The Little Prince onto their service, but we'll have to wait and see. But for you Americans, you'll have to wait and see how The Little Prince is in the comfort of your homes. Now, our next story is going to be a bit of a strange concept. Like, when it comes to anime, we all know that, okay, they're made in Japan. Like, basically, it's an animated project, like an animated feature, but most of the time, people would relate it to, like, animated TV shows made in Japan. That's usually defined as an anime. But we're going to be looking into a strange concept, and this is actually a Western anime. This is an anime that is actually done in the U.S., and so far, the most popular brand of that category, I don't know if like Avatar The Last Airbender or The Legend of Korra would count in that category, but the one thing's for sure, what does count in that is actually Rooster Teeth's Ruby. And apparently they want to do something pretty big. Now the thing is that with Rooster Teeth, they actually did something big when it comes to they actually did something with YouTube Red and actually made a movie that would be exclusively onto YouTube Red, and they did release it in a few places in theaters, and that is with Laser, that is their movie Laser Team. But apparently, now they want to do the same thing with Ruby. And let me just start off by saying, no, they're not going to do a Ruby movie, but instead, they're going to be releasing some of the anime episodes onto the big screen. Now, how are they going to do this, you may ask? Well, apparently, this year, they're going to be separating the entire Ruby anime series into three different parts. A Volume 1, a Volume 2, and a Volume 3. And what they're going to do is that they are apparently going to release Volume 1 onto several different theaters on April 27th, and like some of the countries that will have it include the US, Canada, UK, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand. And then afterwards, they're going to have a Volume 2, which apparently is going to be released in July. And finally, they'll have a third volume, which will be coming out in October. Now, I will say that with Ruby is that it is a pretty interesting experiment that they are doing. Basically, they're just releasing episodes onto the big screen. And I'm surprised that there aren't a lot of TV shows that they want to go and do that. Like, I know that anime can be a massive exception because, they're more willing to experiment into theaters and do whatever they want. Like, sometimes they'll have a lot of different limited releases to movies like some of the recent Dragon Ball Z movies or the new Ghost in the Shell and stuff like that, but never have I really seen that they would release like TV episodes onto the big screen. And technically with Ruby, yeah, it is more of an online thing, but it is pretty cool to see that they would go and release it on the big screen. Now, for those of you who are curious and you don't really know what Ruby is, Deadline actually released they actually brought out an little synopsis about what it is. So apparently they said that it's an anime series that tells the story of four girls, Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang, who are students at Beacon Academy, an ancient school designed to train the monster slayers known as Hunters and Huntresses. Unfortunately, monsters aren't the only threat in the world of Remnant, and if these girls want to graduate, they'll have to learn to work together both on the battlefield and in the classroom. So that basically is the idea. And they also added that Rooster Teeth claims that Ruby was the first Western anime series to be imported into Japan online through a partnership with Warner Brothers Japan. So yeah, like, I'm sure this is something that fans of Ruby will definitely enjoy. Like, I'm sure, like, it's not really the fact that they won't mind to see these episodes again. It's the fact that they would go and see them on the big screen. That would be a really interesting thing. And it does make me wonder, like, if we would see more of these coming up. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes when Volume 1 of Ruby will be coming out on April 27th. And finally, we shall go and end things off with Matt's pick of the week. Now, for this pick of the week, I decided to go into something that I'm not sure I really delved into, and that is regarding books. Now, for those of you who are an animation fan, if you're an artist, or if you're just interested in animated films and stuff like that, chances are you actually own a book that actually starts off with The Art Of. And they're not necessarily books per se. They're not meant to read or to tell stories. They just tell you more a little bit about, like, the behind the scenes things, and like they pretty much describe the artistry of what went into the individual film. Now, I actually do own several of these, and there are a lot of them that I do highly recommend. Of course, there is The Art of DreamWorks Animation. That's pretty much this huge collection of all their movies that they got. Well, pretty much from The Prince of Egypt all the way up to Home. And then there was also The Art of Wreck-It Ralph, which is also a really, really cool one. The Art of Rise of the Guardians, considering that it's one of the best animated films by DreamWorks, it is just beautiful to look at. Like, you definitely have to go check that one out. And also, as well, speaking of which, another great one is actually the books of The Art of How to Train Your Dragon. That is actually a really great idea, especially if you're a big fan of dragons. One that I will say that is very underappreciated, whether you like this movie or not, I highly, highly recommend The Art of Rango, considering that it goes into pretty much the greatest aspect of that movie, and that is, like, the weird and grotesque character designs. Like, yeah, sure, the story could be questionable, but what they did with the animation and the design of these characters is just incredible. Like, just by that alone, it can arguably be worthy enough to actually win Best Animated Feature at the Oscars, which it did, by the way, for those of you that forgot. But anyways, enough of my recommendations. What I'm here to talk about is a brand new Art Of book that is going to be based on an animated masterpiece, which is The Art of the Iron Giant. Now, this is going to be something that will be written by former animation magazine editor Ramin Zahed, which he will go and write a 160-page book that will feature many aspects that goes into the making and of the artistry that went into the Iron Giant. And if you go on cartoonbrew.com, they actually showed you a bit of a preview of what they have to offer with The Art of the Iron Giant. Oh, and also just a little heads up that it does have a foreword by Brad Bird himself, the director of The Iron Giant. And most of the pictures that they are showing in terms of behind the scenes stuff, like, of course you do have many of the designs and like the ideas of what they want to do with the giant himself, but they also included many of the backgrounds from like the diner which Hogarth's mom works at, and also like you got a bit of like some of the artwork done of the junkyard, which is actually like pretty much you see a lot of Dean's garage, and honestly it actually looks fantastic. And you know, this is actually a pretty amazing idea that they have like, you know, to really make something, to really honor the Iron Giant, like not just having this, but also the fact that pretty soon, eventually, hopefully this year, that we are going to get the Iron Giant on Blu-ray, the Iron Giant Signature Edition, by the way, which I actually went and saw it in theaters, and my God, it really was amazing, and I feel so glad and honored as an animation fan to actually have the chance to go see the Iron Giant in theaters. It really was that amazing, but I really cannot wait to have the Iron Giant Signature Edition to come out on Blu-ray. Ironically enough, the DVD is already out, but there is no word yet to when the Blu-ray will be released. That's kind of weird, but I'm pretty excited for that. But yeah, like having that plus have the Iron Giant, I think it's a really great idea, especially for an Iron Giant fan to have. I think the best aspect, like the biggest recommendation for the art of Iron Giant is that this is perfect for someone who wants to do, like, who's thinking of making some kind of art that would be related to either, like, trying to make a giant robot. Like, they'll look into every aspect of the Iron Giant himself, so that's going to be interesting to look at. But also, like, for those who want to make this 1950s aesthetic look, if you want to have, like, the look and feeling of something that is from the 1950s or, like, during the Cold War and stuff like that, this is a great idea, considering that it does capture the look and feel that it is something that is set during the 50s. So that can be a great idea. So just look into it. If you guys are really interested to see if you guys really want to go and get the art of Iron Giant, you can actually go on Amazon.com and you could go pre-order it right now, which apparently it is going for a price of $26.67, so a little less than $30. And for an art of book, that's actually really, really good. So I highly recommend that you go and check it out, and hopefully actually, we do get a release date. Oh, well, what do you know? sorry about that. But apparently, it does say, according to Amazon, that the art of the Iron Giant will be released on August 5th, 2016, so August 5th of this year. And who knows, maybe that could also be the release of the Blu-ray of the Iron Giant. So with that said, hopefully we'll wait and see how that goes. And that will be pretty much it for this week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is look for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Animat505. If you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a favor and go and rate this review this episode? That would be great. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes!